This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
You're listening to The Gardening Show through some miracle of technology on B107.5 FM. I'm Andy Paulson in for Igor again this week, and I'm joined by Master Gardener Bob Harris. I can't tell if our Facebook live feed has started or not. It's just, it's sitting there. I've got the video. And one way or the other, at least if you are unable to watch, I will try to record some video later on as need be. They change everything while I'm away. Bob, thank you for joining me.
Oh, you're
this
welcome.
Morning.
Yeah.
So what have we got in store for this week?
I want to talk about perennials this week.
Okay.
It is that time that a lot of people like to plant some perennials in their garden, and it's a good time to do that. So let me first explain. A perennial is a plant that lives through several growing seasons. All perennials come winter, they die back to the ground, but then they restart growing again in the spring. That's a perennial. I'm not talking about woody plants like trees and shrubs that may also lose all their foliage but don't die back to the ground. Their stems remain. A perennial, it dies back to the ground and then regrows again in the spring. Now, there's also a biennial that a lot of people classify as perennial. I'll give an example. One of the better known ones is the Cullenbine. That one will grow for a season or two, then flowers, produces seeds. Those seeds drop to the ground. They become the new plants because the original mother plant will have worn out and completely dies back. That's a biennial. But most of the plants we're going to put in our garden are going to be true perennials that will come back right from the root system that you planted in there originally. And there's a lot of good ones on the market. And I hope this is showing up. I got a couple here today. I'll start with the taller one. That's a black-eyed Susan. That's a real common one in Bradford, and for a good reason, because it flowers this time of year. It flowers profusely. It accepts a lot of different conditions and comes back year after year, and even, as a matter of fact, it even spreads. So it's a very desirable perennial and a good one if you're just starting a perennial garden. This is a great one to start with. I highly recommend it. Now, it can be both ways. It's going to come back from its root system every year, but it also can produce seeds that will drop to the ground, and new plants will grow from there. So you get that benefit from that plant too. So that's a black-eyed Susan. There's many different kinds of them. There's taller ones. There's shorter ones. They even come in an array of different colors, too, and flower shapes. So highly, highly recommend that one in a perennial garden. Another one that has become super popular is this one here. They're catmint or nepthia. That's a great perennial, long bloom period. It'll start blooming in the spring. And then bloom right up till frost. Now, it takes little breaks in between. Once these blooms fade, it may take a couple, 2 or 3 weeks for the plant to build up strength and start producing the new blossoms, and then it'll start to bloom again. So that's a real good one there. And it has nice scented leaves, too. So it's a great one. That one's a nice low perennial, and the black-eyed Susans are a nice tall perennial, so they're a good mix. And That reminds me of mix. You know, a lot of people ask me, well, what color of plant should I put beside another plant? You know, it really doesn't matter. It's all according to your taste. We all like different colors. We all like different combinations. Don't get hung up on what is supposed to be. You know, should I put orange and purple together? Don't get hung up on that. Going with the flower or the color wheel, totally mix it up. It'll all look good, believe me, especially, you know, if you're planting it to your taste. Don't be afraid to mix clashing colors, because sometimes that can be even more striking than complementary colors. So be aware of that. But a couple rules with color, though, is if you have a small garden and you want to make it look bigger, you plant your warm colors in the front and your cool colors in the back. That gives your eye a sense of a bigger space that way. But if you're not really worried about that, then just mix it up. And another rule, you know, they always said put the tall perennials in the back and the shorter perennials in the front. Again, with gardening, you know, we break all the rules. Sometimes I like to mix it up, put some of the tall things in the front and some of the short ones in the back. Now, yeah, from a distance, you're not going to see them shorter ones in the back. But that's what makes it neat with a perennial garden. That makes it inviting for not only to look at, but to go up close to see, because you know that there's something hiding back there that you're not seeing. So it invites the person to go in closer to look to see what's hidden back there behind these taller plants. So try to mix it up. But if you like to go by the strict rules of short in the front, tall in the back, that's fine too. You know, in my book, there's really no rules in gardening. And a matter of fact, I like to break all the rules as much as I can. To make it my garden rather than some garden I got out of a book or a picture. So don't be afraid to mix it up. Use clashing colors. Put tall in the front and short in the back once in a while. Build some structure to the garden. Maybe instead of a nice flat ground, maybe we want to make a little bit of a mound here and there to also give the ground some contour, so that it also is a little more attractive than just a flat parking lot-like space where we plant. Maybe give it some structure. And one last thing I like to always throw into a garden, because they just seem to fit real well here in Bradford Gardens, is a rock now and then. That's one of the most easy care things you'll put in your garden. And believe me, they just look like they fit here. And that's really what we're trying to do, is make a garden look like it fits in its environment. And so don't be afraid to put a rock or a pile of rocks in here and there.
You're listening to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM WESB. And finally, on Facebook Live. We finally got the live feed working, so those of you who want to can go to our Facebook page and you can see the perennials that Bob's been talking about. I'll post a video where you can see a little closer up to later on what he was doing. If you've got a question, we would love to have Bob answer it. Our phone number is area 814-368-9372. That's 814-368-WESB. You can also send your question any day, anytime, to our email address. That is garden@WESB.com. You can include some photos if you want Bob to look at something in your garden and tell you what you've got or what you need to do. So what else is on deck?
Okay. I wanted to say one more thing about these, too. Is, you know, because a lot of people are trying to attract and support the pollinators. And so these are a couple of the real good ones. Of course, most of the perennials that you purchase are going to be. But the black-eyed Susan is a great one to attract the bumblebees and the honeybees and the hummingbird moth and the hummingbird and some of the larger ones. Now, the smaller flowering catmint is going to help attract a lot of those smaller pollinators. And a lot of those smaller pollinators are good beneficial bugs, not only because they're pollinating plants, but because at a stage in their life, they're attacking some of the unwanted pests that we have in our garden. So we want a combination of big flowers and small flowers to help attract all the pollinators we can get in the garden. One other thing I'd like to talk about is watering. I talk about that a lot on the show because it's probably one of the most important things we do in the garden. Now, when we first plant our perennial, knowing that we've amended the soil, tilled it, or used a spade or a pitchfork to really turn it over and loosen it up, because that's important. We want nice, loose soil. That gives the root system of the plant, the most important part of the plant, the root system of the plant, an easy chance to spread its roots out through the soil. And that's so important. We want a large spreading root system so it's capable of finding food and water when it needs it. That's real important. So after we've done all that to the soil, then we can plant the plant. Dig the hole. Try not to plant the plant too deep. As a matter of fact, if you're going to make any error at all, plant it a little bit high. They will survive fine that way. They have a rough time when you plant them too deep and you end up putting soil over the top of the root ball that the plant came in the container. That can really harm the plant in a hurry, especially if we get a long rainy period. That rain tends to take a lot of the oxygen out of the water. And you've heard me mention plants need oxygen just as much as they need water. So we want to make sure the roots are close to the surface so that they can breathe in that oxygen and also absorb that water in the soil.
814-368-WESB, and we have a caller okay. on the line. Good morning. You're on the air with Bob.
Hi, I have a question.
Yes.
Sort of a random question. I have a great big lilac bush. It's been there probably 80 years, at least from the old photos. Can I trim that? It's like 12 feet tall.
Okay.
Can I prune it this time of year?
You can, yeah. And now the trimming of a lilac is a little different than most other shrubs. They always say you trim a lilac from the bottom. What that means is you're going to pick out some of the older stems of the lilac. Those are probably going to be the bigger stems. Should be more than one stem coming out of the ground, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. So you pick out those older stems, and it's usually one-third of them. So if there's nine stems, take out three of them. And cut them right down as low as you possibly can. What that's going to do is encourage new growth to come out of the ground, which is much better and will flower better. That old stem has been there for a lot of years, and it has a chance of, just like me and you, our vascular system getting plugged up a little bit, so it makes it hard for that stem to bloom anymore. It makes it hard to pull up water and transfer nutrients back down to the roots. So we want to get rid of that old stem, encourage new stems, which will become really the new shrub eventually, and it'll be more what we call floriferous. It'll produce bigger and more flowers. Now, you do...
Yeah. Okay, and I can do it this time of year?
You can do it any time you want. Yep. We'll not harm the lilac at all.
Okay, good. We'll see next spring what it looks like.
Okay. Now...
Thanks, Bob.
Oh, you're welcome. Gotta be brave when you're doing something like that. So throw caution to the wind, and don't worry about it, because that plant has that will to survive and will start producing them new shoots out of the ground. You know, plants, their time scale is much slower than ours. So it takes a while. It may take a year or two before you start seeing those new stems come out of the ground, but it's well worth it. You'll have a nice blooming lilac again.
Well, it's been there 80, 85 years. I guess it'll survive.
Oh, yeah, it will.
I'll try it. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you for calling 814-368-WESB, 814-368-9372. We had another caller, but looks like they decided to call back. Good morning. You're on the air with Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Thanks for having the show. I really love it.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask a question about a magnolia tree.
Uh-huh.
I put it in about 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay.
And this year it has a huge scale problem with the insects.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, I've been trying to knock them all off. I see online where it says that they usually lay their eggs here in August. What are the chances that I'm going to be able to eradicate that tree? It's about 10 foot by 10 foot right now.
Okay. That's a pretty large tree then. So hand picking them probably going to be out of the question, right?
Well, I'm trying.
Okay. Well, there are a couple other methods. You know, it's up to you what you do. There's not a right way or a wrong way, but there are insecticides on the market that you apply to the ground. You don't spray these. That they're called systemic insecticides. I've used these in the past with a tremendous amount of luck. What you'll do is you read the directions. It'll tell you how much to apply into a watering can. You'll water it into the ground. The plant absorbs it and transfers it all throughout the plant. And then wherever those insects bite the plant, they'll get a little bit of that insecticide. And over a year's time, it will eradicate all of them. And what's really nice about this, the systemic insecticide, is you only apply it once a year. Once you applied it, it's good for 12 months. So it's a long-lasting insecticide. And it's I prefer a lot more than spraying, because the spray is going to drift or may even get on you, and you don't know if you're getting bumblebees or the insect you want to get, which is, you got scale, right? Wasn't it?
Yes, it's scale. And it overhangs my pond, which has fish in it.
Okay.
That's why I've been concerned about using any insecticide. But will the systemic just go up in the tree, or will it somehow find its way into my pond if the critters fall in there?
No, the plant will absorb it and hold on to it. And until, you know, a year's time, and then, of course, that chemical breaks down, the plant breaks it down to where it's safe again. So, no, it won't drip into your pond, won't affect the water at all.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate this answer.
Oh, you're welcome.
And thank you for calling. 814-368-9372, 814-368-WESB. Now is a good time to call. Because you've got some time to dial, we're going to step away for a quick message from our friends at Worth W. Smith, then we'll be back with more of The Gardening Show.
Get your summertime projects finished and get ready for fall at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. Pressure-treated lumber is finally back in stock for your building projects, and you'll find plenty of driveway sealer while there's still time to get that project done. Carhartt apparel for fall has just arrived, as well as a full line of fire retardant gear. See their nice supply of decorative fall flags and stock up now on your canning jars while they last. Summer to fall, you'll find it all at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
You're back with more of The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM and on Facebook Live. The technology's been rebelling against us the last couple of days. Igor goes out of town, and every machine goes haywire. No, Igor, you're not allowed to leave town again, all right? And I'm sure he's streaming this right now, so no, we're not going to let you go. 814-368-WESB, garden@WESB.com. For those of you who are a little too shy to speak on the air, Bob is more than willing to answer your questions. And that insect question, insecticide, really got me because I'm sure you can see I've been eaten up by mosquitoes.
Yeah, a lot of
us. It's the bane of working outside, isn't
it? It is. It is indeed.
Do you have a trick that you use to try to keep them off? Or
You know, it seems to me, I don't know, I maybe imagine it, but I eat a banana every day.
And
the
Really? Yeah,
and the mosquitoes and so on just don't seem to bother me a whole lot. Or it just may be that after 50, 60 years of getting bitten by mosquitoes out in the garden, you just start to ignore them. I'm not sure. But I swear by the banana.
I'll have to try that. And, of course, by the time the mosquitoes are gone, it's time to start wrapping up and putting things away for the winter and covering everything and getting ready for the deer infestation
that that'll
come.
Be next.
Or in Smethport, we had a news story. They had a photo of a policeman who photographed a bear in his neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
So lots of wild critters out there who are going to love your plants if you don't protect them correctly.
True. Or you do like me, and you know, I always try to plant enough for me and a little bit for them too. So you try in Bradford, you got to live with nature. It's not worth fighting them. Maybe at some point you may have to if it really gets out of hand, but most of the time we just try to enjoy them. And like I said, a little bit for them, a little bit for me.
Anything you can recommend to feed the critters and keep them away from the stuff you want? any recommendations?
Yeah, and you know, it may be a little off, but like when it comes wintertime, I like to put a little bit of cracked corn out in the middle of the yard to feed the deer. I'm a firm believer that they will prefer that easy meal rather than that hard to work for or not very tasteful meal of my trees and shrubs. So I swear by that, and that seems to work well for me.
Like humans.
Yep, may not work for everybody, but it works for me.
Sounds good. 814-368-WESB, 814-368-9372. We still have time for one more call. If you've got a question, if not, you can email it to garden@wesb.com. And we'll have it ready for next week.
Okay, I wanted to say a little bit more about the lilac and the magnolia, because they're both interesting plants. You know, now the lilac originated from Turkey. It's not a true American plant, but it has become an American plant, we consider it. And a lilac can outlast the human. The customer said to the caller said that she had one for over 80 years. Quite often, you may see a lilac growing out in a field with nothing else there. You can probably guarantee there at one time there was a homestead there, and the lilac has remained there, and the home is long gone because they're just a long-lived great shrub. And now the magnolia. Scientists, botanists all agree that that's probably one of the oldest flowering trees or shrub on the planet. It has a real fascinating life with it, and it can be a very long-lived plant too. But it is susceptible to the scale insect. We have to be aware of that. Usually, the first sign of the scale insect on a magnolia plant is we'll start to see some black sooty mold on some of the leaves. That's the excrement from that scale insect. But also the scale insect has a way of really protecting itself from us fighting it off or nature trying to get to it. It lays its eggs in a capsule on the trunk. Now they're a little elongated. They may only be a quarter inch long and a 16th to an eighth inch wide, so they're really hard to see. They may even look like part of the bark, but if you touch it and scrape it, you'll see it's a little juicy there, and quite often you'll get a little bit of red juice out of it, so you'll know that that's scale insect. Also, their excrement, as it drops down and causing that sooty mold on the leaves, that black sooty mold, it will attract a lot of bees. because they're going after that honey that they're excreting. So that's a couple signs that you have the scale insect on your magnolia. And, of course, there's a lot of different ways to treat it. You know, my preferred way is with the systemic insecticide. If it's a real small plant, then possibly you can go in there and just continually wipe them off until you eradicate them, or hope for a beneficial to come along, and they will eradicate them also for you. But so far, ones that I've seen that are big, you know, like 10 by 10 or 20 by 20, you may have to go to the big guns and use that systemic, which is a very safe chemical. I know a lot of people are not going to use a chemical at all, but when you see a prized plant dying because of an insect infestation, that possibly you'll turn toward that and read the instructions very carefully and go by all of those and try to be as safe as you possibly can. Don't over-apply. But the systemic is a nice one because I only have to apply it once for 12-month period, and it does its job well.
Now, somehow we made it through another edition of The Gardening Show without the phone catching fire on me. Again, the equipment likes Igor. It doesn't like me. So if you have any gardening questions, please, you can email them to us at garden@wesb.com, and Bob will get around to them next week. You can also send photos so he knows what you're talking about. Thanks once again to our friends at Worth W. Smith for making this whole thing possible. I'm Andy Paulson. Nick Youngs has the ARG News Review coming up in just a moment. Thank you again, Bob.
You're welcome.
B107.5 WESB Brentford. This is WESB News.
Cuomo's legal team, order of protection. Good morning, I'm Nick Youngs with the ARG News Review, fueled by American Refining Group. A chance of showers this afternoon, chance of showers tonight. It's 70 degrees, going up to 83 this afternoon. The